Mesechtes Bava Basra, Daf Kuvches, 6 lines from the top of Daf Kuvches Amud Aleph at the new Perek and the new Mishnah. Before beginning Perek Yishneklin, let us discuss the basic dinim of Yerusha that we find in Torah in two places, and we find dinim of Yerusha in Pashas Pinchas as well as in Pashas Maaseh. And in Pashas Pinchas, the Torah speaks about the Bnei Slavchad who are from Shevet Menashe, and because of their desire to receive a chilek in Eretz Yisrael, so they were zeicha that the Pasha of Nachla was stated based on their question, and they went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they stated that although our father died in the Midbar and he didn't have any children, so Lomi Yigara, why should we be less and why shouldn't we receive a chiluk in Eretz Yisrael? And Moshe went and asked this question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megala to Moshe Rabbeinu the halachis and the dinim of Yerusha, which included that a daughter can be Yerush, their father, b'makim she'im ben. And we will see that the halachis and the order of Yerusha doesn't necessarily follow the exact order that's brought in the psukim, and we will see this in the Gemara based on and based on Psukim. L'maisa, at the end of Parshas Maaseh, so the Torah speaks about the concern of Shevet Menashe, that L'maisa, since the Bnei Slavchad received a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and if they will go and get married to other Shvatim, then the Chelek of their Yerusha will go to the other Shvatim, and they used a similar Lashon to Bnei Slavchad, and they stated, U'migoyol nachlaseinu yigorea, and the Pasuk tells us, Vayitzav Moshe's Bnei Yisrael, al pi Hashem lema, kei mati Bnei Yosef devrim, that the mati Bnei Yosef are correct with their request, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that the Bnei Slavchad can only get married within their Shevet, and they can't intermarry within the other Shvatim, and they have to get married to someone from Matan Menashe, and this way the Yerusha will stay within Matan Menashe and within their Shevet. Before we begin, we will read 4 Psukim in Pashas Pinchas, as the Pasuk states, V'albedei Yisrael t'dabba lemer, ish ki yomus u'ben einloi, v'avatim es nachlosu l'bitoi, v'im einloi bas, v'nusatim es nachlosu l'achiv, v'im einloi achim, v'nusatim es nachlosu l'achei aviv, and finally, v'im ein achim l'aviv, as we mentioned, the actual Dini Yerusha do not follow the exact order that's mentioned in the Torah. And let us just point out quickly what the basic order of Yerusha is. So if Yaakov dies and he leaves over a son Reuven and he leaves over a daughter Dinah, then Reuven will be Yerush and Dinah will not be Yerush. Even if Reuven already died, but Reuven had children and Yaakov had grandchildren from his son, then Reuven's sons or his grandsons will be Yerush Yaakov. And if Reuven doesn't have any sons or grandsons, then Reuven's daughters or his granddaughters would be Yerush. And in a case where Yaakov didn't have any sons, or if Yaakov actually had a son Reuven, but Reuven predeceased Yaakov and Reuven didn't have any children, then as the pasuk states, Ish kiyomus uben engloi v'vatam es nachlas l'bitoi, then Dina would be able to be Yerush her father Yaakov. And this is exactly the same story as happened by Bnei Slavchad, that the father Chefer died and Chefer did not have any sons, and therefore the Bnei Slavchad were able to be Yerush Chefer. And once again, if Dina predeceased Yaakov, then if she had children prior to dying, then her children would be able to be Yerush Yaakov, or her grandchildren would be able to be Yerush Yaakov. However, if Yaakov didn't have sons and didn't have daughters, or he had sons and daughters, but they didn't have any children, then the next in line for inheritance would be Yaakov's father, Yitzchak. And as we will see in the Gemara, that the way that we know that Yaakov's father inherits Yaakov is based on the pasuk that states, "Unisatim es nachlasa l'sheirai," and sheirai refers to the deceased father. And as we previously stated, that even though the pasuk "Unisatim es nachlasa l'sheirai" is after the Torah already states, "V'im ein loy bas unisatim es nachlasa l'achiv, v'im ein loy achim unisatim es nachlasa l'achi aviv," but l'maisa, as the Gemara will teach us, a father actually is yerush before a person's brothers and before a person's father's brothers or a person's uncles. Of course, if you think about this, this makes a lot of sense, as really the Torah is telling us that there are only 3 people that have the Schus Yerusha. It's only a son, a daughter, and a father. In reality, the only reason why a person's brothers are Yerushim is not because they're his brothers, but because they're a person's father's children. And since Yitzchak has a right to be Yerush Yaakov, therefore, if Yitzchak predeceased Yaakov, then the Yerusha goes down to Yitzchak's children. And of course, that would be Yaakov's brother or his brothers. And if he doesn't have brothers and his brothers don't have children, then Yaakov's Yerusha would go down through Yitzchak to Yitzchak's daughters or Yaakov's sisters, or if Yaakov doesn't have sisters or they predeceased Yaakov, then it would go down to their children, which are of course Yaakov's nephews and nieces. And if Yaakov doesn't have a father, as Yitzchak predeceased Yaakov, and then Yitzchak doesn't have children, or all his children predeceased Yaakov and they don't have grandchildren either, so at that point the Yerusha from Yaakov would go to his father's brother, which is Yitzchak's brother or Yaakov's paternal uncle. And let's keep in mind a few klalim. Number 1, every Yisrael must have Kav Yerush, as either he'll have a father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, or any of their descendants, etc., until you go back all the way to the Shvatim. And certainly we know that Gemiri, the like Kolos, Shiftim Yisrael, and therefore it has to be a Yerush for every single Yisrael. And of course, this wouldn't necessarily apply to a Ger, and that's why it is a separate Pashto in the Torah that tells us what to do with the Yerusha of a Ger. We also know that the Dinim of inheritance always goes based on paternal lineage and paternal relationships, and as the Gemara will state, Mishpachas Av Kriya Mishpacha, and Mishpachas Eim Ein a Kriya Mishpacha. And finally, the Mishnah will use the Lashon of Neichlin Umanchilin, and Neichlin is referring to someone that's being Yerush someone and receiving Yerusha from someone else and receiving an inheritance. And in most cases, we will call that person a Yerush. The definition of Manchilin is when the Meis gives over Yerusha and bequeaths inheritance to his relatives. And once again, in most cases, we will call that being Meirish, that you be Meirish your Yerusha to your relatives. And our Mishnah now begins and will bring four different categories. And after we bring all four categories, the Mishnah goes and gives examples of these categories. And the Mishnah begins, Yesh Neichlin Manchilin. They are those that not only do they receive Yerusha from a relative, they are also Meirish to those same relatives. And there's a reciprocal relationship between these Krevim. And the second category is, Yesh Neichlin V'lei Manchilin. They are those relatives where you receive Yerusha from them, but you don't give Yerusha to them, and you not bequeath any inheritance to them. And the third category is Manchilin V'dalim Neichlin, that you'll give over inheritance to a relative, but those relatives will not reciprocate, and you won't receive Yerusha from those relatives. And as we will see, the second and third categories are exactly reverse of each other, and the case of Yesh Neichlin V'lein Manchilin are exactly reverse of the cases of Manchilin V'lein Neichlin, as we will see in the Mishnah. And finally, the fourth category is V'lein Neichlin V'lein Manchilin, that although someone may be your relative, but L'maisa, you wouldn't receive any Yerusha from them, and you wouldn't bequeath any Yerusha to them either, and you won't be Yerush from them, and you won't be Meirish to them. And the Mishnah continues to give examples of these categories, and as Tosafot points out, that even though our Mishnah will start off by explaining the first case and the first category of Neichlin Manchilin, however, there are other places in Shas where Mishnah will bring down various categories, and the Mishnah will then explain the last case first, and then go backwards until it gets back to the first case. And as Tosafot states, Ik geduchte de nokkada de solikmei, de ikka de pasukbei, um sech de zedorim de farishlo, and Tosafot in Masechta Nedarim on that Bezim and Bez explains the Chiluk and explains the Derech of the Mishnayis. The Mishnah continues, Ve'ilu Neichlin Manchilin, and these are examples of the first category of the Mishnah, of those Krevim that are Yerush from each other and they Yerush to each other. The Mishnah brings three examples, Ha'av is Habanim, Va'abanim is Ha'av, Va'achim is Ha'av. The father is Yerush his son, and a father gives Yerusha to his son. A son is Yerush his father, a son is Meirish to his father, and brothers from the father are Yerush each other and are Meirish to each other. And Rashbam is bothered that if there's a reciprocal relationship, then why didn't the Mishnah just state Yesh Neichlin Zeh Zeh, which is a much simpler lashon? And the Rashbam states V'haid Leik Tani Yesh Neichlin Zeh Zeh Haynu Mishum D'Beilu Mister Sefer Neichlin V'lein Manchilin Tani Nami Reishon Neichlin Manchilin. That since in the last three categories of the Mishnah we speak about lashon Neichlin and Manchilin, therefore in the first case we also speak about Neichlin Manchilin. Of course, keep in mind that although we stated Ha'av Sabanim that a father is Yerush his children and he receives Yerusha from his children, however, as we already pointed out in that Gemara, and Rashbam points out in Diba Maschal Av, Uchgoin She'in Loisin Abanim Zera, Oz Neich Loisin Av, and certainly we're talking about a case where Yaakov died without having any children, therefore Yitzchak will be able to be Yerush Yaakov and will receive Yerusha from Yaakov. However, certainly in Yeshlan Banim, if Yaakov had children, then him, Koinim Lizakinim, then Yaakov's sons, as well as Yitzchak Tseim, as well as Yaakov's daughters and their children, certainly take precedence over Yaakov's father. And Rashbam also explains that when the Mishnah stated Ba'achim and Av, it is only referring to paternal brothers. For example, if Yaakov had two children, Reuven and Yosef, and Reuven was born from Leah and Yosef from Rachel, so even though they have different mothers, but Lamaisa, they're paternal brothers, and therefore they will be Yerush each other. And if Reuven dies without any children, and of course his father is no longer alive, then Yosef will be Yerush Reuven. And if Yosef dies, then as long as Yosef doesn't have children and Yaakov already died, then Reuven will receive a Yerusha from Yosef. As Rashbam states, V'dafka Achim and Av, and when Dafka talking about paternal brothers, however, maternal brothers would not be Yerush each other to Mishpachas Av, Kriya Mishpacha, as the Gemara will teach us on the Kuf Tesson Beis, and as the Mishnah continues, Neichlin Manchilin, that these are three examples of those that are Neichlin Manchilin and the reciprocal relationship and they Yerush each other. And then Mishnah continues with the second category, Ha'ishas Ima Ve'ishas Ishta U'Bnei Achoyes Neichlin V'lein Manchilin. And although our Gersi is B'nei Achoyes, however, Ayin Rashbam Diba Maschel V'lein Manchilin, we ultimately comes out that we should be Gers B'nei Achoyes, which we will explain in a in a minute, Mishnah teaches us that the second category of Yerusha is those relatives that receive Yerusha from their relative. However, they would not bequeath any Yerusha to that same relative, and then Neichlum Leimanchilin. Once again, the Mishnah brings three examples. The first example is Ha'ishas Imai, that a man is Yerush his mother, and for example, if Leah dies, then Reuven would be Yerush his mother. However, if Reuven dies, then she would not receive a Yerusha from her son Reuven. And the second example is Ve'ishas Ishtai, that if Yaakov is married to Rachel, and Rachel predeceases Yaakov, Yaakov will receive Yerusha from Rachel. However, if Yaakov dies, his wife Rachel would not have a right to be Yerush him. And finally, the third example is Ubnei Achois, that a person could be Yerush his maternal uncle. However, his maternal uncle would never be Yerush him, and a person's maternal uncle will never receive Yerusha from his sister's son. And for example, if Yosef and Dina are brothers and sisters through their father and they're paternally related, so if Yosef dies without any children or grandchildren, and Yosef's father is also not alive, and Yosef doesn't have any brothers, Yosef's estate would go to Dina. Now, if Dina wouldn't be alive, and Dina had a son, which is of course Yosef's nephew, then that son would be Yerush Yosef, and therefore we have a case where Dina's son will be Yerush his maternal uncle. However, certainly in a case where Dina's son dies, then certainly he won't be Yerush to his mother's brother Yosef and to his maternal uncle, as we know that Mishpachas Av Kri Mishpacha and Mishpachas Aim ain't a Kri Mishpacha, and therefore there can be no scenario based on Hilchas Yerusha in the Torah where Dina's son is being Yerush to his maternal uncle Yosef. And as we mentioned, the Rashbam has a great arichas as to exactly how to explain these words B'nei Achois or B'nei Achois, and ultimately the Rashbam points out that since the next category of Manchil Mulei Nechlin is exactly the reverse of this case, so therefore we will see that the third case in the third category is Achei Ha'im, and that is the reciprocal case of B'nei Achois. Therefore it makes sense to explain the Mishnah as we just explained it, and the Rashbam states as follows: B'zer Nir Be'inai Mishim Letoni Sefer Ishas B'na Ve'ishas Ba'ilo Ve'Achei Ha'im Manchil Mulei Nechlin V'chol Hanach Tlasa Shemin Lum Hanach Tlas Tach Baba the Nechlin Mulei Manchilin, and that a reverse and a reciprocal scenarios can Amin of Gemara Dehainu Hach, and as the Gemara will actually ask that the second and the third categories seem to be exactly the same. The Achei Ha'im Hainu D'Bnei Achois. Gemara continues to bring examples of the third category of the Mishnah: Ha'ishas Benah Ve'ishas Ba'ilo Ve'Achei Ha'im Manchilin V'Lein Neichlin. And as we explained, these are reverse and reciprocal examples of category two of Neichlin V'Lein Manchilin. The first example that the Gemara brings is Ha'ishas Benah, that a woman will give a Yerusha to her son, but she won't receive Yerusha from her son. And of course, this is a reciprocal example of Ha'ishas Imai. And the second example that the Mishnah brings is Ha'ishas Ba'ilo, that a woman will give Yerusha to her husband, but her husband is not Meirish to her. Once again, this is a reciprocal example of Ha'ishas Ishtai. The third example of the Mishnah of the category of Manchilim Lenechlin is Achei Ha'im, is a person's maternal uncle. And as we explained, although a person can be Yerish and can inherit from his maternal uncle, but certainly he will never give Yerusha to his mother's brother, as if a person doesn't have any children, then it goes to his father, and if he doesn't have a father, then it goes to his own brothers and his own sisters, and then to their children. There is no point where Yerusha will go through his mother. And once again, this case of Achei Ha'im is exactly the reciprocal case of B'nei Achois. Finally, the Mishnah continues and discusses the last category of the Mishnah, and the last category was Lo Neichlin V'Lein Manchilin, and the Mishnah states, V'Achim Min Ha'im Lo Neichlin V'Lein Manchilin, maternal brothers do not receive Yerusha from their brother, and they would not be married to their brothers that are their maternal brothers. And as we already explained, Mishpachas Av Kri Mishpacha and Mishpachas Eim Ein Kri Mishpacha, and as Rashbam states, El Krev Avishal Zev Avishal Zev Yarshnai Son. Let us read the Rashbam from the third of the wide lines on the Rashbam, and Rashbam states, V'chol Hanach Krevim Diktani She Yarshim Zev Zev, that even though we stated that there are Krevim that are Yarish each other, Hani Milik She Ein Karv L'Meis Yaisim Zev, certainly it doesn't mean that they always Yarish each other. It just means that if they're next in line and they would receive the Yerusha, then they could be Yerush each other, and there are possibilities that they could be Yerush each other, but it doesn't necessarily mean that in all cases that are Yerush each other. As for example, a father would not be Yerush his son if that child already had children, as certainly a person's children are Yerush him prior to his father. And Rashbam also states, V'gam had a craving the Kani Ben, Lein Nechlin V'Lein Manchilin, and also all the craving that we mentioned that would not be Yerush other craving, or they won't be Manchil, and they won't give over Yerusha to other craving. And for example, in the case where the craving mitzad aim, and like the last example of Mishnah, Achei Ha'im with their maternal brothers, so they won't be Yerush each other and they won't be Meirish to each other. However, Hani Mili Sheish Krev Mitzad Av Hayorsh Naisev Krev La Yesim Krev Aim. However, that is certainly only in a case where there are paternal Krevim that are closer to them than these Krev Aim. But And even there's a case where their mother was actually related to them through their father as well. And Rashbam continues, as in this case, they're actually receiving Yerusha not based on a maternal relationship, but actually through a paternal relationship. And Rashbam brings an example, which is a bit complicated, but let's try to go through the example. As if Reuven marries his niece, Serach Bas Asher, and of course Serach Bas Asher is the daughter of Reuven's brother Asher, then Reuven and Serach Bas Asher have a child Naphtali, and they don't have any other children, and Reuven dies, then his son Naphtali dies, and Naphtali didn't have any children either, so then Naphtali's estate can't go to Naphtali's children, as Naphtali didn't have a children, it can't go to Naphtali's father, as Naphtali's father already died, and therefore it would go to Naphtali's father's brother, or in this case, Asher, who is the father of Serach, and if Asher already died, then the Yerusha would actually go to Serach Bas Asher, who is actually Naphtali's mother, and therefore there is a case where someone's mother actually could receive a Yerusha from her son, but Lemaisa is not Mikoyach her son, this Yerusha is actually coming to her through the Koyach of her father, which is of course a paternal relationship, therefore of course, even though this is a possibility, but it is not against the idea of the Mishnah, as the Mishnah just means that you can't be Yerush based on a maternal relationship, and the only way to actually receive the Yerusha is only based on a maternal relationship. For example, if after Reuven died, Serach remarried and she had another child, and let's call him Gad, then if Naphtali dies, and not only is Asher not alive, but Serach, his mother, is also not alive, then Lemaisa, his brother Gad, who is his maternal brother, would be Yerush Naphtali, as he's actually receiving the Yerusha through a paternal relationship, as it's going through Asher, then going through Serach, and then going to Gad. And before beginning the Gemara, let us point out that the first cases that the Mishnah brought were Yesh Neichel Manchilin, and the first two examples that the Mishnah brought was a Aves Habonim v'Habonim Esa'av. Lemaisa, as the Gemara will point out, the case of a Aves Habonim is a scenario where a person's son predeceases the father, and that's why the father is Yerush's son. And our Gemara now begins and asks, Maishna de Tani Aves Habonim Bereisha, listening Habonim Esa'av Bereisha, the Lechir, why did the Mishnah start off and bring an example of a Aves Habonim instead of bringing the case of Bonim Esa'av first, as Chodah Daskul Purim Esa'av, as first of all, it would be better because we shouldn't start off a Mishnah and a Perek by beginning and discussing something of Peronius. And as Rashbam points out, that there are actually two issues over here. That number one, that a son predeceasing their father is a terrible tragedy. And number two, if the father is being Yerush their son, then it must be that that son did not have any children either. And therefore, there was a double tragedy over here, and the Mishnah should not start off in that case. And instead, it should speak about a normal case where a father predeceases their child, and therefore we should speak about Habonim Esa'av, that a child is Yerush their father. And as Rashbam states, Vizu Klolihi, Kesha'adam Mis B'lei Bonim, Vigam Kesha'av, Roy B'Mises B'noi, Ahilu L'tanu D'Masis and Levteach, Haben Neichel Sa'av, Sheze Bracha, Sheyomu Sa'av, Yikbrenu B'noi, and Kedichsev, Yosef Yoshis, Yodeh Ali Necho, Hevtichu Sheyikbrenu B'noi. We continue on Daf Kuf Chesam Beis, and the Gemara brings another reason why it would have been better for the Mishnah to start off with Habonim Esa'av and not begin with the Aves Habonim, V'oi Kedichsev, and also as the Mishnah would begin by discussing the case of Habonim Esa'av, that would actually follow the lead of the Torah, as the Pasuk in Pashas Pincha states, that B'nai Yisrael T'dabba Lema, Ish Kiyomus U'ben Einloi, V'vatamis Nachlasa L'bitai, and certainly the Torah is talking about a case where a father died, and he didn't have sons, and therefore the Yerusha went to his daughters, and certainly if he would have sons, then the Yerusha would go to his son, and that would be a case of Habonim Esa'av. Therefore, based on two problems, the Gemara is bothered that why did the Mishnah start off Ha'avis Habonim, and why didn't the Mishnah start off with the second case of the Mishnah, and start off Habonim Esa'av, and only afterwards speak about Avos Habonim? And the Gemara answers, V'tana, Ayda Asle Midrasha Chavivle, the reason why Atana started off the Perek and spoke about Avos Habonim, that a father is being Yerush's children, as because the only way that we know that a father is actually Yerush's children is only based on a Drasha, as we will see in a moment, and we know that whenever we learn something out of a Drasha, it's Chavivle, and that's why the Tana started Avos Habonim, and only afterwards spoke about Habonim Esa'av, which as we just mentioned is Mefurish in the Torah. And the Gemara continues that we just mentioned that the only way that we know that a father actually receives inheritance from his children is only from a drasha. And the Gemara asks, who my drasha, and what is this drasha? The Gemara states, the Tanya, as we learned to the Braisa, that as we already brought down in the Akdama, the Pasuk states in Pashas Pinchas, Vim ein achim la'aviv, u'nesatam esnach losev, l'she'ir ha'karvi lov mim mishpachtoi, v'yorish she'isa, v'hoysel v'nei yisa, l'chukas mishpat, kashitziva ha'shem es moisha. Braisa is bothered, what is the word she'ir she'iroi mean? And the Brisa explains she'iroi ze'av, that the word she'iroi refers to a person's father, and will not mean, and this teaches us she'av koibin la'achin, that number one, it teaches us that a father is yerish a child, and number two, it teaches us that the father actually takes precedence over a person's brother. And for example, if Reuben dies and he doesn't have any children, then Reuben's estate would first go to Yaakov, and only if Yaakov predeceased Reuben would Reuben's paternal brother Shimon inherit Reuben. And of course, at this point in the Gemara, we should all be bothered that the pasuk of She'irai comes after the pasuk tells us that a person is moirish to his brother, and as the pasuk states, ish ki yamasu ben eloi, and then ve'avatam esnachlos l'bitai. So we first go to the son, and then to a daughter. The pesukim then continue v'im ein lebas, and if a person doesn't have a daughter and no yotzei l'chalitza, then v'satam esnachlos l'achiv, then the yerusha should go to his brother, and it should go to Shimon v'im ein le'achim. And if a person doesn't have brothers, then v'satam esnachlos l'achiyaviv, then his estate should go to his paternal uncles, and then finally v'im ein achim l'aviv v'satam esnachlos l'she'irai. And it would seem that a father should actually receive yerusha only after a son, a daughter, a person's paternal brothers, and a person's paternal uncles, and only then should the father be able to receive Yerusha. And of course, the Gemara will discuss this at a later point, but we actually discussed the basic concept in the Akdama that these psukim are not actually in order, and in reality, the only way that a person's paternal brothers and a person's paternal uncles will actually inherit him is only through his father. And therefore, certainly, if the only way that they're being Yerush, Reuven, is only through the Koyach of Yaakov, then certainly Yaakov has a right to Yerusha prior to the paternal brothers and prior to the paternal uncles. The Brisa now continues, that since we just stated that even though the word She'irai in the Pasuk is later on in the Pasuk, and even so, the father receives Yerusha prior to the paternal brothers, so maybe the Torah means that the father should receive Yerusha first, and maybe he would even receive Yerusha prior to any sons, and if Reuven dies, then Yaakov should be the first in line to be Yerush Reuven, and Reuven's children should not be Yerush Reuven. Brisa teaches us, Talmud Leima, therefore the Pasuk tells us, L'She'irai HaKarei Ve'lov, and the hay is extra to teach us karv koidim, that whoever is a closer relationship has rights to Yerusha prior to the other. As Rashbam states, hakarv karv lemeis yoisa hu koidim menachlo liyarshoi va ben shalmeis kagoyin chanoich ben Reuven karv hu leRuven yoisim Yaakov aviv, that Reuven's son Chanoich is a closer relationship to Reuven, Reuven's father Yaakov. And Rashbam explains that how do we see that a relationship between a son with a father is closer than the relationship between a father to a child? And Rashbam states, shirei kam tachas aviv liyada, and as we will see, that a child could be a replacement for his father, and relevant to but we never find that a father could replace the child for any halachas, and therefore we see that a child has a closer relationship to his father than a father has to his son, and therefore when Reuven dies, his estate will first go to his son Chanoich. As we previously explained, that if Reuven did not have any sons and he only had daughters, or if Chanoich predeceased Reuven and didn't leave over any children, then certainly the daughters of Reuven would take precedence over Reuven's father. But Reuven also didn't have any daughters, or he had daughters that predeceased him and they didn't leave over any children, then the next in line to receive this estate would be his father Yaakov. And let's keep in mind that although a daughter is not kam tachas aviyah liyada ulustayachuza, however the Gemara and Daf Kuf Tesa Menalf will explain that kivin delin yibum benu baskar dadi nenu, that since benegei yibum there is no difference if a person has a son or daughter, the dinim of Yibum do not apply any longer, and therefore, and we'll get to that point, we will explain it deeper. Rashbam is bothered that why is it that the Gemara doesn't explain why is it that a son has a closer relationship to his father than a father has to his son, and Rashbam states, as the Gemara will ask in a moment, although the Gemara will ask this question as to why a son takes precedence over father, why a paternal brother is only Yerush after the father, that's because the Gemara will find a case where it seems that a brother takes precedence over a child. The din is that a brother can do Yibum to his brother's wife, and for example, if Reuven dies without children, then Shimon could be Miabe in Reuven's wife. Therefore, one may have thought that that is actually a closer curva than a child, and that's why the Gemara has to define it to us and explain it to us. However, it was Pasha to the Gemara that a son's relationship to his father is certainly much closer than a father's relationship to a son, as a father has nothing where he's come tachas benoi, where certainly we find two different examples where a son is able to be a replacement for his father. The Gemara now continues that we just explained that even though the pasuk of She'irai is actually further in the Pasuk. However, the Chacham understood that certainly when someone dies, then the order of Yerusha would be that his children would be Yerush, and then his father, and then his paternal brothers. And the Gemara now asks, that how do you know that a son should take precedence over a father? A person's paternal brother should be after his father, maybe should be punkvakert, that the order of Yerusha should be that when a person dies, his paternal brothers should be Yerushim, and then his father. And only if a person doesn't have paternal brothers and he doesn't have a father, then his children should be Yerushim. And Rashbam points out, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, that the reason why we would have a Havmina that a paternal brother should be Yerush's brother prior to a person's own children is because a brother is come tachas achiv liibum, and therefore we see a very close relationship as he could replace his brother and he could be memali mokim for his brother, and maybe that's a closer relationship. Therefore, paternal brothers should be a karav kaivim. The Gemara responds, Mar ben Isaben, she can come tachas achiv liyadul steachuza. Lamaisa, a person's son is Yerushim because he has a closer relationship to his father. As we know, he could serve as a replacement for his father, benegeid halacha of Yud, as well as benegeid halachas that are relevant to steachuza. For example, if Reuven buys an Amavria, he pays the father of the Amavria $1,000 for the Amavria, and then at some point he wants to marry her, then he's allowed to marry her, and he doesn't have to give her a new kedushin, and he could just say harei miuedisli based on the original kesef that he gave to her father. And of course, we know that the Amavria is a ketana, and therefore her father has a right to be mekabel her kedushin. We also know that if Reuven's son Chanoich wants to marry this Amavria, then he could also do yitar, and he could be a replacement for his father Reuven. However, certainly we know that that only applies to Reuven's son Chanoich. This doesn't apply to Reuven's brother Shimon, and therefore we see that there's a closer curva between Reuven's son and Reuven than between Reuven and his paternal brothers. And as Rashbam states, Shim Kana Reuven Amavria Yochli Adelai Kashiyirtsu Bekasa Biknasa Shinas Lavia Ze Yomim Vikvanit Nulaitza Vein Tzarech Lita Kedush Lachirim El Kach Yoyma Hareyat Miyadusli Kedichsiv Vimra Be'ini Adonai Shiloi Ada Vahavta Mechlal Shiyochli Ada Megam Lubnoi Yochli Ada Kedichsiv Vimlai Yadena Avla Adam Acha In Yochli Ada Elm Keni Kachena Ish Kedush Gemurin Vafilu Lachiv In Yochli Ada, as we explained. And of course, the second case where a child could act as a replacement for his father has been negated the din of Steachuza. And for example, if Reuven goes and is Makdish his Steachuza, then the din is that he could be poided prior to Yovel. But if he isn't poided prior to Yovel, then it'll go to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim would split up the Sada between all of the Kohanim. However, we know that if the son is actually poida and redeems this field from Hegdish, then it would not go to the Kohanim and Yovel, and the Sada would stay with the family. However, if Reuven's paternal brother would go and be poida the Sada, then that would not help, and by Yovel would go to the Kohanim. And as the Pasuk states, Vim lo yigal es ha-sada, vim mochas ha-sada le-ish acher, we dashin that when the Pasuk states le-ish acher, it refers to someone that's considered acher, is not so closely related to the person that was makdish the sada, and we dashin le-ish acher v'loy l'bnei shel makdish. This halacha only applies if the sada was sold to an ish acher. However, a child is not considered ish acher. Therefore, if the child actually redeems this field from hegdish, then the field would not go to the kahanim at yovel, and instead would revert to his father at the point of yovel. Avalim achiv shel makdish padai yoytz l'kahanim. However, if Reuven's paternal brothers are paid to the sada, then it would go to the kahanim. Hidichsiv l'ish acher dehainu achiv av benoy lav acherhu. And Rashbam is bothered that l'chiru, what is the major question of the Gemara? If l'chiru, we should just look at the psukim and we could see that a son comes first, then a daughter, and then a brother. However, Zok Rashbam avaloy matzal meima sheben kodim es achi ames l'nachla k'moshe sida b'pasha v'im ein l'ben v'avatam es nachlasa l'bitoy v'im ein l'bas v'nesatam es nachlasa l'achiv d'kivin d'kroy lav considering k'sivi k'nemucha kro k'dekasa v'akarv k'arv kodim v'neimu d'ach kodim b'in l'av b'in l'ben. Since clearly the order of the psukim are not exact, as she'eroy actually comes before the brothers, therefore the Gemara could ask that ma'royis, and maybe a brother should actually come prior to a son, and maybe the order should be paternal brothers, then a person's father, and then his children. And our Gemara now continues and asks, Adirabba, ma'ban isa'ach, she can come tachas achav liibum, that why do you say that a child is close to their father because he's come tachas of liyadul steachuza? If lemaisa, a paternal brother, is certainly close to his brother, since he has the ability to do yibum to his wife, and he's come tachas of liibum. Rashbam explains that certainly at this point in the Gemara understands that certainly his son is a closer relationship to his father than a father is to his son, and we also see paternal brothers have a very close relationship to each other. Certainly at this point, the Gemara understands paternal brothers, as well as a child of a person that dies, should take precedence over a person's father. Therefore, we would have to structure the psukim as follows, Ish kiyomus, that a paternal brother should come first. first, and if there are no paternal brothers, then the Nisatan Sachlasa will bnai, then his son should receive the Yerusha, and if there are no sons, then the daughters should receive the Yerusha, and finally, if there are no brothers, no sons, and no daughters, only then Unisatan Sachlasa l'sheirai, and Vemele Sheir, Unisatan Sachlasa l'achei aviv, and certainly the Gemara still understood that a father takes precedence over the paternal uncles of the mace, and finally, Vemele Achim l'aviv, Hakarve l'av mishpachtoi v'yarishaisa. However, the Gemara responds, although you're correct that a brother does Yibum to his brother's wife, and therefore certainly there is a closer relationship between paternal brothers, but Klum Yeshibum el b'makom she'im ben, ha b'makom she'is ben, in Yibum, that the only time that Yibum even applies is only when there is no son and no daughter. However, if there is a son, then certainly Yibum doesn't apply, and therefore certainly we see that a son is much stronger than a brother. As Rashbam states, Alma, filu l'gabi Yibum, koma ben, tachas aviv, tvei mechi aviv, shrei prito isumimenu, that he actually has the strength to completely exempt his mother from the dinim of Yibum. The Gemara continues that we had a question that l'chira son is kom tachas aviv liyadul steyachuza, while his brother is kom tachas achiv only for Yibum, and l'chira it's two against one, and therefore the Gemara is time of the ikah hipecha, that l'chira it's mashma, that the only reason why we said that a son is closer to his father than a paternal brother is only because we were able to have a teretz and we were able to say b'makom she'ish ben in Yibum. It's mashma halav achi, that if we wouldn't have this teretz have a mina achadiv, then we would think that a paternal brother takes precedence over a person's child. A person's paternal brother should be Yerushim prior to his son. But the Gemara is typically, and we continue on Dafkot Tesamanav, the Hachatati v'Hachachoda, that even if we don't have any teretz, the Lemaisa, we should say that a son has a stronger relationship to his father than paternal brothers have to each other, because the son is Kamtachas Aviv, Liyadul Steyachuza, and as Taisitz adds in on Kufchasam Beis, that a son is also a replacement for his father, Benegay and Eved Ivri, as we know that Eved Ivri is Oivis HaBen, V'Leis HaAch. Meanwhile, paternal brothers can only take each other's place, only Benegay Yibam, and certainly there's two against one, and therefore certainly it should be Pashut that a son should take precedence, Benegay Yerusha, over a paternal brother. And the Gemara answers, Steyachuza Gufa, Mehai Taimu, that the whole way that we know that Benegay Steyachuza, that a son is Kam Tachas Aviv, is only because of the Svara of Klum Yish Yibam, El B'makom She'im Ben, Ha B'makom She'ish Ben in Yibam. Therefore, without this Svara, then we would actually only have one against one. We only would have one case where a son is Kam Tachas Aviv, which is the case of Yud, and we would only have one case where a brother could act as a replacement for his brother, and that is the case of Yibam. However, the whole case of Steyachuza is only built and is only learned from the din of Yibam. And as the Gemara states, the Kakai Malay Latano, Klum Yish Yibam, El B'makom She'im Ben, Ha Yish Ben in Yibam. And as Rashbam states on the second line on the top of Daf Kuf Tesam and Aleph, Mishani, and the Gemara answers, Mishum, the Steyachuza Gufa, Lekai Malam B'mesechtes Erchen, She'ha Ben B'makom Av, Tvei Me'ochiv, El Mehach Percho, Dar Pechim Hasam, Klum Yish Yibam, El B'makom She'im Ben, Dar Min Nami Hasam, as over there the Gemara also asks, Ma Royis, the Rabbis Ben, Lohitz Tzach, how do we know that the son is Kam Tachas Aviv, B'negeir Adin of Steyachuza, and the brother is not? And how do we know that when the Pasuk states Ishachar, it's referring to a person's paternal brother? The Gemara goes through a similar shakel v'taya, and the Gemara states Ma'abin Isaben shekin kam tachas aviv liyada, and the Gemara is Adraba Ma'abin Isachach shekin kam tachas achav liyibum u'mishani klum yeshibum etc. Shele mitzino kasav b'feir she'ha ben kam tachas aviv tvei me'achiv el liyada. As we stated, shegama ach kam tachtov liyibum v'nimsa the hachachad v'hachachada, and really it should be one against one. V'shad v'rm shaben kam tachas aviv tvei me'achiv k'goin steyachuzo ve'eved ivri b'mesechtes kedushin v'gedimus haben la'ach b'nachla hulu ma'isilu hu medini ad l'chud. In reality, we're really learning it from the din of Yud by itself. Shekasu b'ferish haben kam tachas aviv as b'negei Yud, the pasuk states b'ferish, the son has a right to do Yud to the father's amavriya. V'yiloyd m'shninan afilu gabi yibam ma'ina ach kam tachtav k'may b'noi, that a son is still stronger than a brother, the klum yishibam el b'makum she'im ben, lo'ev m'tzin l'rabuye ben she'yokum tachas aviv l'klum tfei me'ochiv del havi hachachada v'hachachada. Rashbam points out that this point in the Gemara, although we understand why a son takes precedence over a paternal brother, however, we still don't understand why a father takes precedence over a paternal brother, as L'Chari would say that a son is first because he's kam tachas aviv liyud and l'steyachuza, and of course a ben and bas is kehadadi nenu, and therefore a daughter would be next, and after that should come a brother, because a brother is kam tachas achiv liyibum, and L'Chari, a father has no shaychus to the son, and therefore the Gemara will ask and explain why is it that the father doesn't come last. If our Gemara continues and asks, Ve'ima she'ir ze'av, melam she'av k'idun l'bas, that L'Chari, once we say that she'ir refers to a father, and for some reason the father comes before a paternal brother, then L'Chari, the father should also come before for a daughter, Nyoch Yatim Leben, and one may think that a father should come before his son, Tamalema Karv, Karv Karv Kaidim, and we only have the limud of a Karv Karv Kaidim, Benigia's son, that a son takes precedence over father, but maybe a father should take precedence over a person's daughter, Negea Din of Yerusha, and as Rashbam points out, Ta'ina Komatakas of Yel Klum, as a daughter doesn't replace a father for Yud or for Steachuza, therefore maybe the father should go before her, and why is it that a father only receives Yerusha after the daughter of the mace? The Gemara answers, Kivin Lin Yibum Ben Baskad Adinu, that although you said that it doesn't seem that a daughter has any connection to a father and doesn't have anywhere where she replaces the father, but we do see that she has the ability to pater her mother from Yibum, as it doesn't make a difference if Reuven had a son or if he had a daughter, that his wife would not fall Yibum. And since Benegeda didn't have Yibum, we see the Koyach of a daughter, so Lini Nachlanami Ben Baskad Adinu, and therefore Benegeda Dini Yerusha, there is no difference between a son and a daughter, and a son and daughter take precedence over a father. And if Reuven dies, then the proper order of Nachla is that Reuven's sons would receive the Yerusha first, after the sons or their Yitzchak Chalatzeim, then Reuven's daughters would receive the Yerusha or their Yitzchak Chalatzeim. And if Reuven didn't have any sons or daughters and no Yitzchak Chalatzeim and no grandchildren, then his estate would go to his father Yaakov, and if Yaakov's not alive, then the Yerusha would go to Yaakov's children or Reuven's paternal brothers. And if Reuven doesn't have any paternal brothers or nephews or great-nephews, then the Yerusha would go to Yaakov's brothers or to Reuven's uncles, etc. And Rashbam points out that how do we know that Benegei Yibum Ben Obas Kadodin and Ol Kedachsiv Ben Einloi, and we learn out Ayin Lov Nimtzes Gam Abas Peteres as Achim in a Yibum Aval Avi Ames in a Peteres Eshet Benoim in a Yibum Nimtzes Abas Kometachas Aviyot Fei Me Avi Ames Vachi Ames Ayin Shom, and we will stop over here.